Well, good morning. It is so good to see each and every one of you as we gather for worship on this Easter Sunday to proclaim that fundamental truth that Jesus Christ is alive, he is risen, and he is with us even now. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name is Pete Moon, lead pastor here at Reveille Church, and we are honored that all of you are here with us. We also welcome all those who are participating in worship with us by live stream and throughout the week. You are a part of all that we're doing here this morning. As we begin our time together, let me offer just a few announcements to get us started. You will find in your pews this morning a card there that is green. We would like to encourage all of you to take a moment and fill that out and let us know that you are here today. And later on in the service, when we receive our offering, we would like to invite you to put that card into the offering plate. But once again, we are celebrating your presence with us. If you would offer us that card, that would be a great thing. We also want to highlight that we're going to have a special offering today. All the proceeds of our undesignated offerings will go to serve the youth and the children of our community, most particularly at Westview-on-the-James and United Methodist Family Services. And we thank you in advance for your generosity as we strive to serve our community here with us. Also in your bulletin, you will see a number of things that are happening in the life of the church all through the spring, and we would love to have you return and be a part of any or all of that. This day, we are going to be making a bold proclamation. We're going to say together that in the person of Jesus Christ, there is no place where there is no hope. that there is no place where there is no, that nothing is hopeless because of the resurrection. As we enter into our worship, and as we think about that on this Easter Sunday, I invite you to hold that truth in your minds as we worship and celebrate this fundamental truth. The Lord be with you. Let us stand together for our call to worship, which you'll find in your bulletin. Alleluia, the Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Let us sing together the great hymn of Easter, Christ the Lord is risen today, number 302.
Please join me now for our opening prayer. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, by your radiant and magnificent resurrection, you broke the bonds of death and rose from the grave as a conqueror. You reconciled heaven and earth. Our life had no hope of eternal happiness before you redeemed us. Your resurrection has washed away our sin, restored our innocence, and brought us joy. How inestimable is the tenderness of your love. You may be seated.
Come on up on this Easter Sunday. The children want to come forward. We're going to have our time together up front here. We got one ready back there. Come on. We got room for everybody up here. Come on. We're going to come up together here. We're going to sit on the steps. Hey, Charlie, come on up. And as they're coming forward, let me say a word to those of you, our children, who are watching us by live stream. We invite you to come on closer to the screen and be a part of what we are doing here this morning. We are thankful for each and every one of you as we gather up here today. Good morning. And as you all are coming on up here, I want to teach you something that we are learning in church today. You might have seen that at the very beginning of the service, we started with the words, Christ is risen. Did you hear us say that? And then we say, Christ is risen indeed. So I'm wondering if we might be able to say that together. I'm going to say, Christ is risen, and you say, Christ is risen indeed. You ready? Christ is risen. Let's see if we can get all these folks out here to help us. Can you all for this? Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. See, we're here celebrating all the good news that Jesus is right here with us. And to get us thinking about that today, I got this other question for you. Do any of you have Easter baskets today? Did you get some cool things in your Easter basket? Chocolate, bunnies. How many of you guys had jelly beans? Come on, that's what I'm talking about. All right, so I brought an Easter basket, but it doesn't have any jelly beans in it. Do you all remember what we did a couple of weeks ago? We spent a whole lot of time talking about all the things that Easter is. We talked about, you might remember the story of how Jesus was in the tomb, and he said that it's like being a seed that's planted. So we got room for Easter. Come on up here. And do you all remember, some of you might have been here, but you all planted some seeds. Do you remember doing that in children's time? And look what happened in all that.
We planted some peas, and now they're all growing. Which reminds us that Jesus said he went into the tomb to die, but he was going to grow and bear fruit. And sure enough, just like those seeds you planted, he has done it again. So now, I have another question for you from my Easter basket. And to do this, I need a very brave volunteer. Who would like to come on? Come on up, come on up. All right, yeah, you can come on up. I need you to, I got these very special sunglasses. Come on up here and check this out. So put these sunglasses on and see what and how's that look? It looks black. You can't see anything, can you? It's just black, isn't it? Well, these are special sunglasses. You know why? Because something's going to happen in a week from tomorrow. It's going to be a solar eclipse. You all know about that? Did you learn about that in school? And these are special glasses I got that you can see the whole eclipse. And do you all know how an eclipse works? I lost my basket here. You can go and have a seat. So in my basket, I brought something to think about that. And you know how an eclipse works? Like, this is the sun, right? And it's really bright, and I won't shine it in your eyes. But see, the sun is here, and the moon comes all the way in front of the sun and blocks out the light, right? And so what's going to happen a week from Monday is it's going to get dark in the middle of the day. You know that? And so you might be looking out for that. But what I want you to invite you to remember, boys and girls, is that there's a lesson in there just about like Jesus was in the tomb. While Jesus was in the tomb, it seemed like everything was dark. But just like the moon passes and the light shines again, Jesus reminds us that he came out of the tomb, he's alive. You know what that means? He is with us, and no matter what, there's always hope. No matter what, he's going to be with you. And no matter what, he's going to be with you in every part of your life. Hold on to that as you watch the eclipse and as you watch the gardens grow, and we can remember that truth. Let's put our hands together and let's say a prayer. You repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you that you are here and you are alive and you are with me always. And because of that, there is always hope. Amen. All right, y'all can head on back. It's so good to have you with us here today, as always. We're glad to have you as a part of it all.
Please join me for praying the prayer for illumination. Living God, by your Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see the new light of this day. Open our lips to tell of the empty tomb. Open our hearts to believe the good news through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and 14 through 24. This may be found on page 492 of your Pew Bible. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and you have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading for the morning comes from the 16th chapter of the book of Mark, reading the first 8 verses. Will you listen now for the word of God? When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, long ago, your servant Paul reminded us that in the resurrection there is power, that in the resurrection there is hope. And it is our prayer today, O Lord, that wherever we are in life and also where our world is today, that you would speak into our lives and into this world through this, your word, to remind us of the hope that is ours uniquely because Jesus Christ is alive and here. It is in his name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, of course, on this Easter morning, we are gathered in all the glory and all the celebration and all the wonder of the day. And this day means a whole lot of things. But at its core, this day, the message of the empty tomb, it cries out a particular message. There is always hope. There is always hope. And I mean, you can pick your angle on the resurrection because they all land here. Jesus Christ is risen, and because he is risen, as we share with the children, you are not alone. And because of that, there is hope. Jesus Christ is risen over hell and death. He has risen above the worst thing in this world and in the next. And because of that, there is always hope. Because Jesus Christ is risen, the worst thing is never the last thing. And because of that, there is hope. The list goes on, and you could trace it all the way down, but there is a fundamental reminder to every single one of us today that there is always hope. And the truth is, we need it. We need to hear it. And even more, perhaps our world needs to hear it today. This week I was reading a bit of John Ortberg's old book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. And he tells this great story in that book. It reminds us that hope does not just motivate people to positive thinking, that hope actually has healing power. And to demonstrate that, he tells of a medical study where 122 men who had suffered their first heart attack were evaluated on their degree of hopefulness or pessimism. And it's interesting, of the 25 most pessimistic men, 21 died 8 years later. Of the 25 most optimistic men, only 6 died. You see what happened? Loss of hope increased the odds of death more than 300%, and it predicted death more accurately than any medical risk factor, including blood pressure, amount of damage to the heart, or cholesterol level. And John Ortberg, he adds his own humorous interpretation of the study when he says this: better to eat Twinkies in hope than to eat broccoli in despair. Come on, it's great, isn't it? Better to eat Twinkies in hope than broccolis in despair. Well, brothers and sisters, there's a resurrection message this day, and it's not about going and eating Twinkies, right? It is about the availability of hope to you and to me right here and right now. And who better to take us into that message than these 3 women in the story in the Gospel of Mark? Mark tells us their names a bunch of times. There's Mary Magdalene. There's Mary, the mother of James. There's Salome. And you know, in just a couple of verses, 3 times he lists their names because he wants to make a point back then and even today. People would be reading the Gospel of Mark a few years later. And so this is a footnote in the Bible that Mark puts in to say, look, if you don't believe me, go ask them. They were there. But even so, isn't it fascinating that in such a culturally advanced way, Mark has these 3 women leading us to the tomb, leading us in the message of resurrection, and leading us even today to a deeper, more profound, more relevant understanding of hope and its power because of the resurrection. So what I'd like to do briefly this morning is take a journey with these 3 women in the Gospel of Mark to see that there is hope in their journey to the tomb. There is even deeper hope in their entrance into the tomb. And there is hope as they return from the tomb. And I think this first part of the journey, as we watch these women making their way to the tomb, I think this is a piece of hope to which all of us can relate. Think about the story. And Mark tells us they purchased spices at the market at the conclusion of the Sabbath. And then they went out at sunrise at the beginning of the day, and they're going out to the tomb. And think about these women. They're not going to experience, they don't have any idea about resurrection. They don't know that Jesus is alive and risen. They are pretty sure they are just walking to a tomb where there will be a dead body. There was a mess. There was ugliness, hopelessness seemingly. All the hopes had been dashed. And you know what they were doing? They were just walking to that tomb to do a decent thing that would perhaps move that stone just a little bit and shine some light into that dark tomb. Every single one of us in the room can recall a time when somebody did that for us. Somebody offered you a word of kindness, a word of mercy. Just a positive word that says, I see you where you are. I recognize where you are. And if you were there, you remember that that stone moved just a little bit. And suddenly, there's a spark of light. And you found hope. Maybe not the resurrection, but you found hope. You know, this week I was reading about a friend of mine, or I was remembering a friend of mine who I met years ago. He has since died. But I met him when I was on this sabbatical journey. I drove around the country a number of years ago, and I asked 72 people how Jesus had changed their life. Had amazing stories, but right at the top was this man. His name was Robert Moore. He was part of a little church, a Methodist church in Conyers, Georgia. And we spoke together for well over an hour. I'm going to give you the very short version, because Robert had this horrible childhood of drugs and stealing and juvenile homes. He got out of prison. He married his high school girlfriend. He had twins, but he, and I quote, he said, I hated everyone. There was drugs, alcohol, divorce, restraining order. Children were taken away. He told me at that point, and I quote, I was angry that God had created me to go to hell. He told me he couldn't find hope, so he would pray to the devil, is what he told me. And when he was sober, he would work for a roofing company. for a man named Bucky, who was a part of this little United Methodist church. And so Bucky invited him to a men's event at the church. And Robert said to Bucky, and I'm quoting him here, he said, "I'm a devil worshiper and I'm going to hell." Bucky didn't know what to do with this. He just said, "Well, come anyway." And Robert did. And Robert continued with this men's group and joined a prayer group and a Bible. So he started a jail ministry. He started a recovery ministry in this church. And then there was a time, he told me, when his mother died. And the church sent this outpouring of cards to him. And when I sat there in this little room, he pulled out his backpack and he showed them to me. He said he had a pile. This was months, a year later. He had a pile of 50, 60, 70 cards that had been clearly read multiple times, wrinkled, crinkled. And he said, he closed our time together with tears when he reflected on the cards and these people sending him these cards. He said, "This church is my family, and this is my home. This church has been heaven on earth." Now, here's what I'm thinking. 50, 60, 70 cards, not a person who wrote those cards were thinking about a resurrection. They were just the women going to the tomb, trying to make just life just a little bit better. Friends, can I encourage you to never forget the power of small things that you do for people? Don't ever forget the power of a word of kindness. Don't ever presume that they don't need to hear it. See, so many of us, perhaps, so many people around us are living in the darkness of that tomb. And maybe when you offer that word of kindness, maybe that stone rolls just a little bit, and suddenly people who thought things were hopeless find just a bit of light and hope. Reveille Church, what do you say we do this today? What do you say we do this today? I want to make a challenge to each of you. Before you leave the parking lot on this Easter Sunday morning, I want to invite you to send a text. Send a text to somebody you know, somebody who needs a bit of hope. You don't have to proclaim the resurrection. Just tell them you're thinking about them. You're praying for them. They came to your mind today. And if you can't think of anybody, when we have communion, kneel at the rail and ask God to show you. I am certain a name will come into your heart where you can offer not maybe the whole resurrection, but you can at least offer a glimmer of hope. But be warned. Be careful. Because as with these three women, as with those people who wrote cards to my friend Robert, you may find yourself in the midst of resurrection, more than you bargained for. You see it? These women, as they journey to the tomb, they take us to one level of hope. But then they get to the tomb, and they walk in, and they bring us to an even deeper level. Who in the world wants to walk into a tomb? Who wants to speak to death or about death? Who wants to deal with all? Where's the hope in all that? This week, I was listening to a piece on the radio as I was driving, and they were talking about how crazy it seems that Christians had this tradition of holding sunrise services in cemeteries and graveyards. But you think about that. This is what we do, brothers and sisters. We walk into the tomb of death, and we dare to proclaim that there is hope even in this. Because look at what these women saw. Not particularly in Mark, but in the other three Gospels. They saw the risen Jesus right there in front of them. And there is a reminder of the truth of the Scriptures that they proclaim that because Jesus Christ is risen, so will be those who follow him. And therefore, Paul could say, death has lost its sting. Because we see what we will be. I don't know if you saw it, but last night, ABC, they've been doing this for like a gazillion years. They always offer Cecil B. DeMille's version of the Ten Commandments. I bet nobody saw it because it was on while March Madness was on, right? But if you watched it, it was 4 hours and 44 minutes of runtime. But again, it was produced 70 years ago by Cecil B. DeMille. and he did some noteworthy things, but I was struck by a story that I came across a few weeks ago that was often told by Bishop Usler, who used to be a pastor and bishop here many, many years ago. But he tells it this way, that Cecil B. DeMille was lying in a canoe reading when a big black beetle came out of the water onto the boat. He goes on to say, and I quote, "This beetle was blinking at me, and I noticed a score of his relations grubbing in the muddy ooze of the lake. I felt rather sorry for them, those lowly creatures that might never know any other world except gloom and mud and water. Under the heat of the sun," he went on to say, "the beetle on the canoe proceeded to die. And then a strange thing happened. His glistening black shell cracked all the way down the back, and out of it came a shapeless mass whose hideousness was transformed into a beautiful, brilliantly colored life. As I watched with fascination, out of the mass, there gradually unfolded four sparkling wings from which the sunlight blazed 1,000 colors. The wings spread wide as if in worship of the sun. The blue-green body took shape. Before my very eyes had occurred a metamorphosis, a hated beetle into a gorgeous dragonfly. While the dragonfly happily explored its wonderful new world, darting in an instant over a space that a short time before would have taken him months to crawl, the other beetle still plodded and lumbered below in the mud. I had witnessed what seemed to be a miracle. Out of the mud had come a beautiful new life. And the thought came to me that if the Creator worked such wonders with the lowliest of creatures, what may not be in store for the human spirit?" Friends, do you see the hope there? When you and I dare to look into the tomb with these three women, when we ultimately gaze upon the resurrected Jesus, that's you and that's me as we follow Christ. And it may feel like that. Right now, life may be hard, and it may feel like you're grinding it out in the mud. Maybe it feels like you're just getting by. Maybe it feels like you're just surviving. But when you look into the tomb with these women, there is a vision of what will be, not just for you, but for the world. And therefore, there is hope. And that's a beautiful image. But also, if we're not careful, that is where we stop. It's easy to simplify and say we have hope because we're going to go to heaven when we die. And we will be all this. But we also have to pay attention to the next segment because there's more. As the women make their way from the tomb. See, this picture of Jesus, the risen Jesus, is not just about me and Jesus. See, this picture of Jesus is designed to push you from that tomb into a renewed picture of hope that changes you and changes this world. You see, when we look at the risen Jesus, we see what we are going to be. But it's also a picture of the recreated world. It's a picture of what Jesus is going to do in this world and designed to make us see what will ultimately be. And the resurrection means that our God is really going to do it with you and me. He's going to recreate us and this world. But our purpose in life is not just to abide until we make it to the by and by. Instead, what you and I do as we make our way from the tomb is to put the pedal down on this hope, to give our lives to the risen Jesus, not just so we're going to go to heaven, but so that we will make this world by God's grace, so that we by God's grace will become that which we will ultimately be. N.T. Wright, the New Testament scholar, he says it this way. He says, the message of the resurrection means that this world matters, that the injustices and the pains of this present world must now be addressed with the news that healing and justice and love have ultimately won. If Easter means that Jesus is raised only in a spiritual sense, then it's only about me. But if Jesus Christ is truly risen from the dead, Christianity becomes good news for the whole world. News which warms our hearts, precisely because it's not just about warming hearts. Easter means that in a world where injustice and violence and degradation are endemic, God is not prepared to tolerate such things, and that we will work and plan with all the energy of God to implement the victory of Jesus over them all. Take away Easter, and Karl Marx was probably right to accuse Christianity of ignoring the problems of the material world. Take it away, and Freud was probably right to say that Christianity is wish fulfillment. Take it away, and Nietzsche was probably right to say Christianity is for wimps. But brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is risen, and that means in Him there is no place where there is no hope. And that hope is seen sometimes in the small things we do as we make our way to the tomb. And that hope is found when you and I have the courage to walk into the tomb and face death and yet see the reality and the power of the risen Jesus as He is, as we will be, and as this world will be. And even more, we find as we make our way from the tomb a hope that has the potential and possibility to change the world so that this world resembles, by God's grace and through our work, the way the world ultimately will be. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is risen. And because of that, there is no place where there is no hope. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As hopeful people, let us sing together hymn number 303, The Day of Resurrection.
Find the Apostles' Creed on page 881 of your hymnals. Let us together say what we believe.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us please be seated.
Friends, let us close our eyes, let us clear our minds, and go to the Lord in prayer. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have made. We thank you that on this beautiful day in particular, that we as the church can come together and celebrate that Jesus, your Son, is risen. We thank you for your unconditional love that has been given to us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for your gift of grace that freed us from the depths of sin and reconciled us into an everlasting relationship with you. We thank you that on this day we can celebrate the resurrection life and the hope that comes from your promises. Lord God, at that same note, we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge some of the hardships and pain that have come with carrying our crosses and following Jesus. We pray for our neighbors who are suffering on this day. We pray for our neighbors who are grieving losses of all kinds. We pray for the areas in our world where conflict rages on. We pray for our neighbors in Baltimore after the Key Bridge collapse. We pray for our neighbors in the Middle East who have found themselves powerless in the midst of war. We pray for the widows. We pray for the children. We pray for all who have lost hope along the way. We pray for those who are seeking and crying out for your hope. We pray for those who haven't experienced your hope. Help us, O God, to share the hope of the good news everywhere, just like the women at Jesus' tomb. Help us, O God, to embody the hope of the good news and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Help us as the Universal Christian Church and Revel United Methodist Church, our partner church's Love Center of Unity and Koinonia Christian Church, and churches everywhere to be champions of your hope and builders of your kingdom here on earth. And when it is our time to join you, Lord, in the assembly and communion of the saints above, we pray that we will rise to meet you and be able to rejoice in the gifts of your hope-filled promises for all of eternity. We celebrate this and pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
As we now prepare to come to the table of the Lord, we invite you to turn to page 12 in your hymnals as we join together in the Holy Sacrament. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Friends, as forgiven and reconciled people, we invite you now to take this opportunity to stand and greet your neighbor in the name of the risen Christ. And as we continue our worship this morning, we now invite our ushers to come forward to receive our morning offering.
Christ the
please be seated.
We now invite you to join in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is a right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day when you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by your disciples in the breaking of the bread, and in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Of children of God, let us pray together the prayer our Lord taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for you, and for me, and for a broken world. Jesus was broken that we might be healed. And the blood of Christ is shed for you and for me and for this world, that we might be forgiven, redeemed, and set free by God's grace.
I'd like to invite our communion helpers to come forward now. And I remind all of you that we will be serving communion by intinction this morning. When you come to your communion station, come with your hands open. We will place a piece of bread in your hand. You can then dip it into the cup and take of the two elements together. We will have four communion stations here in the front. We will also have communion stations in our narthex. So for those of you who are in the front of the church, you will come forward down the center aisle, take communion, and then return to your seats by the side aisle. For those of you in the back of the church, we will lead you out from the side aisles, take communion in the narthex, and then return to your seats by the center aisle. We will have ushers and greeters who will be directing you throughout this process. We also have gluten-free elements here in the front as well as in the narthex if you need gluten-free elements this morning. And if you are unable to come forward, we will also have servers that will be going down the side aisle that can serve you in your pew. This is the table of the Lord. It is not the table of Reveille Church. It is not the table of the United Methodist Church. For those of you who have been here often, for those of you who have not been here in a while, for those of you who are Methodist, or for those of you who are another denomination or no denomination at all, for those of you who have followed Jesus faithfully, for those of you who have tried to follow Jesus and failed, this table is open to you, for this is the Lord's table, and all are welcome. Come now and taste and see that the Lord is good.
Christ is alive.
Let us pray together the prayer you'll find printed in your bulletin. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Make us ever faithful to your high calling. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us stand together as we offer our final hymn, number 327, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Friends, remember the truth that we have declared this day. We live in a world that struggles to find hope. Sometimes we struggle to find it ourselves. But we have been so bold as to proclaim, because of the resurrection of Jesus, there is no place where there is no hope. As you go to serve in this world, remember those small acts of kindness. And as you go to serve in this world, remember the encouragement that Jesus Christ is alive, is with you, and will never leave you. As we go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as all God's people say, Amen.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you.